Welcome to First Baptist Church this morning. Glad you're here worshiping with us. I want to warn you about something this morning. If you're a guest with us, you can ignore this because you probably won't think anything of it. If you're a regular attender, I'm going to throw you for a loop. Is that okay? We've decided to move some things around in your order of worship. Oh my goodness, the pastor's really messing things up now. I want to spend some time welcoming with you, and I want to take just a brief moment to introduce our sermon series over the next few weeks and welcome you, but I want you to know why we're changing the order of service a little bit. It's my conviction that as a church, we ought to be worshiping during a worship service. Is that okay with you guys? We need to focus on our worship from the time we begin all the way through the end. And so we've cut the announcements out of the beginning and we'll move those towards the end. We've moved the offering as well. It's part of our worship and will be done after the invitation. But if you're an usher this morning and you're getting ready to come up, you can stay seated for a little bit. You don't have to come up till after we take Lord's Supper this morning. So you've got a little bit of a break. I do want to introduce to you our new series. It's called Reach. And it is about reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in. And we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about what we can do to reach our community. Reach is an action word. It requires that we go and do something. I have thought of a sermon series entitled Sit, you know, but it didn't sound as good. Sit up, sit out, and sit in. But I don't believe that's what we're called to do. We're called to be active. We're called to be reaching. And so I hope that the Lord will speak to you over the next few weeks about how we can reach Crawford County, and specifically Robinson, Illinois. We want to continue on with worship this morning, spend some time lifting praises up. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it back over to our music group. They're going to lead us, and I hope and pray that you will reach up in worship this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that your name is above all else. Lord, we sing that this morning. We sing the name of Jesus Christ, because it's greater and stronger and mightier and higher. Lord, all the adjectives fail to describe how great and wonderful you are. Lord, what a wonderful opportunity we have to worship you this morning. And Lord, we pray that that worship would continue on through the message. We pray that the worship would continue on through the giving of our offerings and our tithes. We pray that our worship would continue on through our taking of the Lord's Supper. And Lord, we pray that our worship would continue even as we dismiss later today. Lord, we thank you for your name, and we pray that we would live up to your name. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. We're going to be going through a series entitled Reach. And as you see, we're going to be talking for the next 3 weeks about reaching up, reaching out, and reaching in. Reach is the mission of the church. We are called to reach, and we're going to see what that mission looks like. When we think of reach up, we think first and foremost of worship. We reach up in our worship of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning, that is the first place that we are to reach. But when we say the word worship, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. If you say worship to some people, it means an organ, a piano, and a hymnal. When you say worship to others, it means a drum set and an electric guitar. When you say worship to some people, it means it's really loud. When you say worship to others, it means it's really quiet. I started thinking, what is worship? And I found a great illustrative video on what worship is. Really is. So I'd like for you to pay attention and let's just see the skinny on worship this morning.
As a worship leader, as a lead worshiper, I'm doing something innovative. I'm using the heart of music and my heart to connect the heart of the people to the very heart of God's heart. I mean, that's never been done in the history of the church.
What about hymns?
Hymn who?
Hello, my name is George.
And I'm Jorge. And we've just released a new CD, George and Jorge Remix the World.
Yeah, you see, there's so much great music out there that is worthless because it doesn't worship God.
That's right. So what we've done is we've healed and purified them with just a little touch of Jesus.
We'll give you a taste of it right now. One, two, three. So I put my hands up, worshipping my God, and the sin just flies away.
Healing the sick like ya, preaching the word like ya. You know what this book is, Skippy? This is the only book that should be in churches other than the Holy Bible. Yep, you guessed it. It is a hymnal where such classics as Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, stuff like that. Good stuff. Awesome stuff. But you know, today's music, it's just a little too loud. It just sounds like it should be in a bar.
You know, the ancient church was really offended by hymns because it reminded them of bar songs.
Well, flip me over and tickle me twisted. Didn't know that. Still too loud. I'm just a leper, nobody loves me.
He's just a leper from a leper colony.
With scaly skin, he's a monstrosity.
Do de de do, do de do, do de do. Do not come, you must go, and your skin not show.
Let it show.
Must not show.
Let it show.
Must not show.
Let it show.
Must not show. No, 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 no.
Pharisee, Pharisee.
I've been called a lot of things. Snake handler, reptile man, crazy. But I'm tell you right now, there's no worship service that can shake two sticks at my chapel time. That's for sure.
Get back in there, Carl.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. My church believes in the fear of the Lord. And ain't nothing put the fear in a man like a rattlesnake. Tell me. You ever sung He Has Made Me Glad with a poisonous reptile stretched across your trembling shoulders? If not, then you've never truly worshipped. You don't believe me? Let me show you. Carl? Oh, Carl's out. Y'all start praying. Start looking around and start praying. I'm serious. That snake will kill you dead. Carl! Somebody get me some help. I ain't gonna touch that thing.
I'm not a heathen. Just got saved by my good Lord.
Yeah.
I just got saved by my good Lord.
Oh yeah.
I just got saved by my good Lord. I'm not a heathen.
Tonight's a night. Let's praise the Lord. I got some money. Let's tithe it up.
I'm not a heathen.
Songs we're going to introduce from George and Jorge. There certainly is a broad spectrum when it comes to worship, isn't there? There are some people who like things a certain way, others who like it another way. And can I tell you, there's a great way. We could split this church in half if we wanted to this morning. If we all, as a matter of fact, it wouldn't be in half, probably in quarters or in eighths. If we all just said, sit where you feel the most comfortable in worship. Hymn people over here. Praise people over here, loud people in the back, quiet people. No, I better flip-flop that. Quiet people in the back, loud people up front. We could really start to get opinionated. But when we think of worship this morning, when we think of reaching up, it has nothing to do with style. You know, there was a war in churches for quite some time. It was a war on worship. Should we use a projector or not? Should we use praise songs or not? Should we stay traditional and use these instruments or those instruments? And there was a war. Can I tell you, that war is practically over. I stand very boldly and able to show you a silly video like that because churches, by and large, have quit fighting over a style. Because what has become the realization is that true and genuine worship has less to do with the style of worship and more to do with the attitude of the worshiper. And this morning, we want to be a church that reaches up in our worship. If you have your Bible, let's read Psalm 96. There's 13 verses in this chapter. We're going to read all 13. You can read along with me, starting in verse 1. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to Yahweh. Praise His name. Proclaim His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonderful works among all peoples. Look in verse 4. For the Lord is great and highly praised. He is feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory of his name. Bring an offering and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Look at verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. He judges the peoples fairly. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and all that fills it resound. Let the fields and everything in them exult. And all the trees of the forest will shout for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his faithfulness. As we read in Psalms, we read over and over again Psalms of praise and worship. Psalms that shout out the name of God, that exalt. In Psalm 96, it says it's not just people who worship, but the creatures of the sea, the trees that grow on land, all of creation points and reaches up in worship to God. This morning, I want to talk about this idea of worship. And regardless of your preference in style, I want you to know this morning that first and foremost, you were created for worship. You were created for that very purpose. You have a job, and your job is to worship God. In Psalm 96, verse 5, it talks about God creating the heavens. It says, "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He created all things, and he created you." Can I tell you, he also gave purpose to all things. He gave purpose to the trees and the creatures of the sea, and he gave purpose to man as well. As a matter of fact, in verses 12 and 13, it says, "Let the fields and everything in them exult. Then all the trees of the forest will shout for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He's coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his faithfulness." God is coming, and he's coming to judge what? Are you fulfilling your purpose? Have you been doing what God has called you to do? And what has God called you to do? What has he created you for? You were created for worship. That's why he put you here. Your chief end is to glorify God. Now, I will tell you, you cannot do that if you do not have a relationship with him. And we'll share here in just a few moments what that means to have a relationship with God. But it is impossible, impossible to fulfill your purpose of worship without a relationship with Jesus Christ. The question this morning is, are you fulfilling your calling? Are you truly and genuinely worshiping? We had a theme night one night when we were in youth ministry. We would every once in a while have a theme night. We had a duct tape night on a Wednesday night youth service. And it was fun. We had people come and decorate in duct tape. They made their clothes out of duct tape. Somewhere, if it survived, I've got a pair of duct tape shorts and a duct tape tie. And I had duct tape backpack that I had made. And we decorated everything in duct tape. And it was just like Duck Dynasty exploded on our youth group. You know, it was just duct tape everywhere. And at the end, we did a short message tying in. And you know, I found it interesting. Duct tape has a bajillion uses. Have you thought about the things you've used duct tape for before? I mean, duct tape is wonderful, wonderful for anything broken. As a matter of fact, just recently, we had an issue with our toilet. The handle broke, you know, the little thing. And I went in there and we needed a new handle. And my first thought was, we don't need a new handle. I can just duct tape that back together, you know. How about this? How many of you have used duct tape on a vehicle before? All right. We went to buy a van when we were in North Carolina. We talked a little bit about it this morning. We were excited about getting a new van, and when it pulled up and we got to look at it, it wasn't everything we thought it was going to be, but we were going to get it anyways until I popped open the engine. And guess what? I think that engine was made out of Duct tape everywhere. Just, it looked like it exploded in there. You can do literally anything with duct tape. We made clothes out of it. People go to prom. They get scholarships for creating duct tape prom dresses. There's an idea for some of you high schoolers. You can get a scholarship if you'll go to prom completely decked out, head to toe, in duct tape. But you know, there is one thing that duct tape is not good for. It's been found that it can do a million things, but one thing it does an incredibly poor job of doing is repairing air ducts, D-U-C-T-S's. You know, it does a horrible job of taping up air ducts. If you've ever tried to use it on that, you tape it up and the air flows through, and guess what? It busts it open every time. You know, it's kind of strange because duct tape, D-U-C-T, duct tape was created to repair ducts. And what's the one thing it cannot do? Repair ducts. You know, there's a lot of Christians like that. We're really good at doing a lot of things. Boy, we can do anything. We'll come and we'll get involved in a church. We'll attend a service. We'll volunteer. We'll help out in different areas. But we fail to do the one thing we were created to do. We never truly, genuinely worship. It breaks my heart sometimes when I look around in worship services to see people who refuse to sing. Now, I realize sometimes you're tired or unable to, but I've known individuals literally who would get up and walk out if it was a song they don't like. We were at a church one time that any time we had the children up on stage leading us in worship, there were people who would get up and walk out. It breaks my heart when I see people who refuse to worship. There are songs I don't like. When we lived in Indiana, there's a worship leader and he played a couple of songs I just didn't care for. They were newer songs, praise songs, and they didn't do it for me. They were kind of boring to me. And I really wished he wouldn't have sung them, and I wish he wouldn't have played them. You know, and there was a time I almost went to Dusty and I almost said, Dusty, could you pick any other song? I just don't like that one. I just can't worship to that. And as soon as I thought about telling him that, I thought, shame on me. I can't worship. There's a song that's going to keep me from worshiping. You see, worship is not about the songs we sing. It's about the attitude of our heart. Are we fulfilling what we were created to do? When it comes to our worship time, when it comes to us singing songs in worship, it doesn't matter whether we love the choice of music or whether we're uncomfortable with the choice of music. If you don't know the words and can't sing, you can pray. If you don't understand or like the beat of a song, you can still talk to your God. You can read the words. You can say the words. You can shout His name. You can still worship. And if there is ever, ever anything that keeps you from worshiping, the problem is not the circumstance. The problem is our heart, because we were created to reach up in worship. This morning, I want you to feel convicted about our worship time. I want you to feel convicted about the times that we sing songs. Just a few minutes ago as we were singing, I'm a bouncer. I don't lift my hands very often. I'm not really a clapper, but I can't help but bounce. But I love to see people express themselves in worship. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone lift their hand, and I thought, someone's really going. And about that time, they lifted their hand and scratched their head, you know, and I thought, so close. You know, so close. We ought to be expressing ourselves in worship. You may not be a hand raiser, that's fine. You may not be a clapper, that's okay. You may not even be a bouncer. There are some of you all who will worship just like this, and that's perfectly fine. But if you feel the Lord leading you in worship, you need to respond in that. If He's leading you to sing, sing loud. Nobody cares if you're off key, and if they do, remember, that's their problem, not yours. You were created to worship. Nobody cares if you lift your hands up. If the Lord puts on your heart to reach out to Him, do it. Reach out. Nobody cares if you clap. If you're off beat, we'll drown you out or somebody will fix your problem, all right? Just follow the drums. He keeps good time, and go to town in worship. We are created in worship, and I hope we will feel convicted to worship during our service time. But the second thing we need to realize this morning is that worship is much more than a service. Worship is more than a service. You know, when do we worship? Do we worship on a daily basis? Most of the time, if you ask someone who attends church, when is your worship? They tell you a service time, 10:30 Sunday morning. That's when our worship is. When do you worship? 10:30 Sunday morning. Or Sunday school, maybe at 9:30. We've got a Wednesday night service. We worship some on Wednesday nights, and they'll slap you a time, a specific corporate worship time. But you know, worship is more than just a service. And in Psalm 96, the writer of this psalm tells us that. He says, "Sing to Yahweh, praise His name, proclaim His salvation on Sunday mornings at 10:30. That's what Psalm 96 verse 2 says, doesn't it? No, proclaim His name, proclaim His salvation from day to day. You know, there's two ways to interpret this verse. Way number one is that we ought to meet for worship 7 days a week. Boy, some of you like to get your money out of your pastor, wouldn't you? We're going to have a service Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We might even have two or three on Sunday just because we need to proclaim His name from day to day. Now, I don't believe that's what the psalmist is writing here. He's not saying gather together for corporate worship X number of times a week. Instead, it is a personal call. It is a call for us to proclaim His salvation in our personal lives every single day. You know, it's okay to convict yourself and ask yourself the question, have I worshiped today? Have I worshiped my God today? If it's Monday afternoon, it's okay to think back to what the pastor said on Sunday morning and ask yourself, what have I done to proclaim His salvation today? What have I done to praise His name? Maybe you spend some time singing because that's how you love to worship. Or maybe your way of worship from day to day is just in prayer, praising who God is. Maybe your way of worshiping on a daily basis is finding someone who's not heard His salvation and proclaiming His salvation to them. Or maybe your way of worship is doing all of that as the opportunity arises. We have a calling and a conviction to worship more than just once a week, but day by day. Verse 3, it tells us to declare His glory among the nations, His wonderful works among all people. Worship can be a very private thing, and you can sit in your room at home, shut the door, and just be you and God. And if it is, that's wonderful. But worship is also meant to proclaim the name of God to others, to declare His glory among the nations. Your worship of Him is to share His wonderful works among all the people. Worship doesn't have to be this formal, put music on and sing. Worship is simply living your life so that others see Christ in you. That is how we reach up in worship. Worship is more than a service. In John chapter 4, we see Jesus finds a woman at the well, and He confronts her on a number of different things. And as He's trying to convict her on her sin, she asks a question to change the subject. She doesn't want to feel convicted by her sin, and so she realizes there's a fight going on between the Samaritans and the Jews. There are the Jews who feel like you worship in Jerusalem, and there are the Samaritans who feel like you worship up in Mount Horeb. So she asks, "Do you worship on this mountain or on that mountain?" She thinks, "I'll change the subject and Jesus won't be able to convict me of my sin any longer." Jesus looks at her and He says, "Believe me," in John chapter 4. "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." This was a blasphemous statement for Jesus to say. The place of worship, lady, is not important. He goes on to say, "An hour is coming and is now here where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. You were made to worship more than just one time, but you were made to worship in your daily life. You were made to worship so that you would day by day praise His name and proclaim His salvation. Every day we ought to ask ourselves, what have I done to reach up in worship today? And if we've done nothing, let it convict us to speak His name. Thirdly, we see what worship is. You were created for worship. It's more than a service. But thirdly, worship requires sacrifice. Worship involves a sacrifice. We are called to give something in our worship. In Psalm 96 again, if you're still there, look with me in verse 8. He says, "Ascribe to Yahweh the glory of His name. Bring an offering and enter His courts." When we worship, we do not worship empty-handed. We give to God in our worship. I've heard worship described a number of ways. Someone once said, when you worship, you ought to worship so until you're uncomfortable. So worship and lift your hands if that makes you uncomfortable, because you have to give something. Can I tell you, worship ought to be the most comfortable thing you do. I don't believe at all that you need to fake and force a worship service. If you're uncomfortable lifting your hands, by all means, don't. Worship is a natural reaction to what God has done for you. But that natural reaction should involve a sacrifice. Worship involves and requires us to give an offering. It requires for us to give something up. It's too easy for us to worship on Sunday morning in our comfortable pews. We stand and we sing for a while, and then we sit in our padded pews with our padded backs, unless you're in the balcony, and then you have a little more discomfort. But we just sit in our air-conditioned or heated sanctuary, and we are so comfortable in our worship. We ought to be asking ourselves, what am I giving to God in this worship? What am I giving to Him? Maybe in this sanctuary, as we sing, all we're giving Him is words of praise. But when we worship Him day by day, maybe we are giving up some of our comforts. Maybe we're sacrificing our own personal preferences. Maybe we're giving Him what we most fear. It requires us speaking up. It requires us stepping outside of our comfort zone. It requires us worshiping Him in ways we didn't know we could worship. It requires a sacrifice. When we think about sacrificing in our worship, it should come natural and easy. Because our sacrifice is minimal, our sacrifice pales in comparison to the gift that we've been given. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on a cross was an act of worship to His Father, and it provided a way of salvation for you and for me. There is not a one of us who sits here this morning that is able to fulfill our calling to worship outside of this sacrificial relationship with Jesus Christ. Every Sunday morning I stand before you and look at a congregation full of people who sing songs, who give tithes and offerings, who attend a worship service. But we're fooling ourselves if we think every single one of us is truly, genuinely worshiping in a relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, know this, you can fulfill what you were created to do. You can fulfill your purpose in worship. And the first step is acknowledging a need for the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I want you to realize that the invitation is as easy as it ever will be. This morning, our invitation is simply to worship. Are we worshiping this morning? If you'd bow your head and close your eyes, and we'll have a word of prayer inviting God to lead us in worship. Father, we thank You that You've allowed us the opportunity to worship You. Lord, what a privilege it is that we were created to know You and to lift You up. Father, I pray this morning that each person in this sanctuary would know Your Son, Jesus Christ. That each person sitting and listening to me would realize their need to fulfill their purpose. Lord, there's not a person in here who you've not created to know you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of all of us, showing us our genuine need to worship you. Lord, we pray as we reach up this morning that we would sacrifice and that we would give, that we would be willing to share with others. And Lord, that we would proclaim your salvation day by day. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. And Lord, we come before you this morning with a sacrificial heart, giving all of our lives to you, reaching up knowing that you and you alone are worthy of our praise. Lord, we know as we come to a close of our invitation time that the invitation never closes. And Lord, if there are those here who are still convicted to surrender their lives to Christ, to surrender their hearts in worship to you, we pray that you would continue to send your Spirit. Lord, let them know that we are available to talk and pray with them, to answer questions, and to help them realize that they can fulfill their worship of you. Lord, we're continuing on in our worship now and continue to leave your Spirit with us so that we can worship you truly in this place and even as we go out. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment, and as you do, I'll ask our deacons to come forward for just a moment. We're going to take the Lord's Supper here, and as we do, I want you to know that this is a wonderfully appropriate time for us to worship this morning. Part of our reaching up in worship involves us looking back and remembering the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for us. And so as we're in this time of worship together, as we've gathered together in corporate worship, let's now individually examine our hearts and examine our lives and remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. I'm going to have a word of prayer and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. But I would invite you to continually examine your heart and ask yourself, Lord, what can I do to worship you? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the cross of Christ. Lord, we thank you that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the privilege and the honor to know you in a real and personal way. Father, I pray now for all of us in here that we would examine our hearts, that we would look inside and see what it is that would keep us from worshiping you. And Lord, I pray we would confess those things right now. I pray that the burdens of our heart would be wiped away in the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we worship you by remembering what you've done, that we would bring you honor and glory and purify our lives. Lord, we ask you to continue to lead us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.